Okay, let's briefly review the fourth parak of Tainus inside. The Mishnah says as follows: B'shlosha prakim b'shana, kohanim nosin es kapayin, arba pa'amim l'yom. There are three occasions during the year during which the kohanim do nesias kapayim, that's when they do berchas kohanim, they duchen, four times on that day. What are the four times on the day that they would be duchening? B'shachris, b'musaf, b'mincha, so b'shachris, musaf, and mincha, u'b'ne'ilah sha'arim, and by the tefillah that we say at the time of the closing of the gates. We said this could be either the closing of the gates of the Heichal or the gates, the Shaar HaShemayim, the gates of heaven. And we refer to that tefillah as ne'ilah. So what are the three occasions during the year? B'tainios, by fast days, b'mamados, by Ma'amados, or Yom Kippur. We'll discuss Ma'amados in the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Elohim Ma'amados. These are Ma'amados. Levishan Emor, because the Torah tells us, Tzavis B'nei Yisrael V'marta Alehem, as Karbani Lachmi, the Torah gives a commandment to all of Klal Yisrael to bring a carbon. This is talking about the carbon Tamid that had to be brought every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, it had to be brought by all of Klal Yisrael. The problem is, V'kiheich Karbano Shel Adam Karev, how could the carbon of a person be brought, V'hu Eino Omid Al Gabav, if he is not standing present at the time the carbon is being brought? We know that whenever a Bailim, whenever people, somebody comes to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a carbon, he has to be present when he is bringing that carbon. Well, how are you supposed to have all of Klal Yisrael be present at the time of that carbon? So Hiskinu Nevi'im Harishonim Esrim V'arba Mishmaros. So the Nevi'im Rishonim, the early Nevi'im, in other words, Shmuel and David, they enacted, they instituted that there should be 24 Mishmaros. So literally, a Mishmar is a watch. So they, and we know that the Kohanim were broken up into 24 Mishmaros, and we said that the Mishmaros would basically rotate doing Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So as an individual Mishmar was a group of Kohen families, so let's say it would be your father and all of his brothers and all of your cousins, and then each of those Mishmaros would be covering the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash for that week, and then for each individual day, there was a base of a smaller family unit, so let's say it be you and your father and your brothers would all be doing Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash on that day. That was a base of. So the Kohanim were broken up into 24 Mishmaros, a Kol Mishmar, Mishmar, and for every single Mishmar, Hayah Maimid B'Yerushalayim, there was a Maimid from the Lashon of Omid that they would be standing present, supposed to be accompanying, so to speak, the Karban Tamid, Shal Kohanim, Shal Levim, Shal Yisrael. So corresponding, we had the Kohanim who would be doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, Levim would be singing Shir in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Yisraelim would be comprising the Maimid that would be accompanying that that Karban Tamid. He gives mana Mishmar la'alos, and when the time came for the Mishmar to go up to Yerushalayim, Kohanim Levim, so you'd have Kohanim Levim, the Kohanim would be going to do Avodah, Levim would be going up to do their Shira, Olam Yerushalayim, they would all go up to Yerushalayim, the Yisrael Shabba Osa Mishmar. Now, there were Yisraelim, we said that there were two groups of Yisraelim potentially, right? There were the Yisraelim who were in the neighbor of the Yerushalayim, and they could actually make their way to the base of Mikdash to participate and being present by the avoda of the Karban Tamid. And then there was the Mishmar, the Yisraelim, who couldn't make it. They were too far away from Yerushalayim, so they would be gathering together in their shul. So the Yisrael, Shabbat Osa Mishmar, and any Yisrael who was corresponded to that Mishmar of that week, Miskansin Larayim, they would gather together in their cities. In other words, they'd gather together in their shuls, and they would daven special tefillos so that the karbanos should be accepted. The beratzon, we say. The karin, b'maisa bereishis. And we said that the people that they read in their shuls, they lane from maisa bereishis. They lane from the beginning of creation, and we said that the reason that they do that is in order to drive home this point that there is a big correlation between the avoda that's done in the Beis HaMikdash and the world being able to exist. And so the idea is that the world is able to exist, Ma'aseh Bereishis is able to exist because avoda is being done in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Gimel v'Anshei Hamaymid Hayu Mes'anin Arba Yom B'Shavua. The people who comprised that unit, that group of people who made up the Maimid that week, they would fast 4 days of the week. Miyom Sheni v'Ad Yom Chamishi. They would fast from Monday until Thursday. They would fast basically just until the evening. V'lo hayu mes'anin Erev Shabbos. They would not fast on Erev Shabbos, but b'nei kvod Shabbos, because of kavod Shabbos, so that they wouldn't go into Shabbos going in totally on an empty stomach, really, really hungry. V'lo be'echav b'Shabbos, and we don't want them fasting on Sunday. Why not? K'dei shelo yetzu mi'menucha v'oneg li'yagiv atanis v'yemusu, so that they don't go from a day of pleasure and resting and suddenly go from one extreme of pleasure to the opposite extreme of yagiv, fatigue, v'tanis, and fasting, v'yemusu, which we say a little bit exaggeratedly, is that and they could die, meaning to say it's very dangerous to go from one extreme to the other. By Yom Rishon, and so on the first day of the week for their Maimid, what would they read when they lay in from the Torah? Bereishis v'yihi rakia. So as we noted before, we're basically laying down all the parshas, right? Again, a parsha that we're talking about over here is not like Breishis Noch Lech Lecha. We're talking about from pay to pay in the Torah, from one break in the Torah to the next break. And we said that there was a difference between where the break of the Psucha was in the Torah versus a Stuma, depending where the break was at the beginning of the line or in the middle of the line, where there was a space of 9 letters worth of space. Okay, but either way, so we say they would read Breishis V'Yihi Rakia. They would read the two first parshas from Pasuk Aleph and the Pasuk Ches, Pasheni on day 2 of the Maimed, Yihi Rakia, V'Yikavu HaMaim, Pashlishi, Yikavu HaMaim, V'Yihima Oros, Barvi on day 4, Yihima Oros, V'Yishutu HaMaim, Bachamishi on day 5, Yishutu HaMaim, V'Totzea Aretz, Vashishi, and on the 6th day, Totzea Aretz, V'Yichulu HaShemaim. They would basically read Totzea Aretz, going from Pasuk of Dalet up into Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and then Vayichulu, which is starts at the beginning of Perek Beis, the first 3 Pesukim. So Parsha Gedolah, if you had a Parsha Gedolah, again, a Parsha here is not Breishis Noach, it is the unit from one break in the Torah to the next break in the Torah, where that break is a Pesucha. So when you have a large Parsha, meaning to say that it has more than 3 Pesukim, Kornos HaBishnaim, we break that up into 2 people reading it. In other words, there are 2 different alleles for those Pesukim. Ba'akatana, a smaller Parsha, B'yachid, in other words, if you had a Parsha of only 3 Pesukim, we would have an individual person laning those Pesukim. B'shachris u'b'musif, so by Shachris and by Musif, that's when you would do this kriya. That's when you had a formal taking out the Sefer Torah and you'd read from the Torah. B'mincha, but by mincha time, they wouldn't take out the Sefer Torah. Rather, what would they do? Nechnasin, they would go into shul, the Koran al-Pien, and they would read by heart. In other words, they would recite those psukim by heart, kikor neshma, just like you read Shema. Erev Shabbos by Mincha lo hayu nechnasin, and Erev Shabbos by Mincha time, they would not go into shul, they wouldn't have to go into shul, even though it was their week for Maimid, they wouldn't have to do the special tefillos, they wouldn't be laning from the Torah, why not? Mipnei kvod Shabbos, in order so that people would be able to get ready for Shabbos. Mishnah Dalet, kol yom sheyesh bo halal, ein bo Maimid b'shachris. We said that just because there was a Maimid that week does not mean that just because it was your week to be on duty for Maimid doesn't mean that there was always a Maimid by every single tefillah. It depends what else was going on there. That day. So the Mishnah tells us, any day that there was Hallel, for example, if let's say you have Hallel without a Korban Musaf being brought, so for example, Chanukah, so there'd be no Maimid by Shachris, meaning to say that nobody would gather together to dive in the special tefillos in the shul and to read from Maisa Bereishis, etc., because Hallel dismisses the need for having a Maimid by Shachris. Korban Musaf, any day where there's a Korban Musaf being brought, for example, like Rosh Chodesh, Ein Bo B'nei Ila, then there is no Maimid even by Tefillas Ne'ila. Now, what that means is that, right, Musaf is further away from the Tefillah of Ne'ila, right? For the Oseder of the Tefillas would be Shachris, then Musaf, then Mincha, and then Ne'ila. So Musaf is dismissing the need for a Maimed by Ne'ila. So then it goes without saying that Musaf is going to dismiss the need for a Maimed by Musaf and by Mincha itself. So on a day where there's Musaf, then there's no Maimed by Musaf, by Mincha, or by Ne'ila, according to this opinion of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah goes on and says, Karban Eitzim, on a day where there's a Karban Eitzim, we said that was the day of the year that there were specific families that would bring wood to the Beis HaMikdash. When they would bring wood to the Beis HaMikdash, they also brought a Karban. And so that day that they had in order to bring wood to the Beis HaMikdash was like a Yom Tov for them. So on a day where there's a Karban Eitzim, Ein Boba Mincha, then there's no Maimed by Mincha. Now what that would mean, though, is that there's no Maimed by Mincha, but then there is a Maimed by Ne'ila. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So that's all Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Again, according to Rabbi Akiva, on the day where there's Musaf, there's no Maimed by Musaf, Mincha, or Ne'ila. On the day where there's a Karban Eitzim, there's no Maimed by Mincha, but there is a Maimed by Ne'ila. So Amar lo ben Azar, but Azar said back to Rabbi Akiva, Kach haya Rabbi Yeshua shon. Rabbi Yeshua actually taught it a little bit differently. He taught it as follows. Karban Musaf, on the day where there's a Karban Musaf, you said that there's no Maimed by Musaf, Mincha, or Ne'ila. But Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua taught the halacha that ein bo mincha. There's no maimed by mincha, but what that means is that so there's no maimed by mincha, and certainly there's no maimed by musaf, but there is a maimed by ne'ila. Karban eitzim on that day where there's a karban eitzim, ein bo ne'ila. Then there's no maimed by ne'ila. And so what that would mean is then, of course, if on the day where there's a karban eitzim, there's no maimed by ne'ila, well then certainly there's no maimed by mincha, because they would be. Because the Karban Eitzim was something that they brought close to Mincha time. So the question is, why should there be any difference between a Karban Musaf and a Karban Eitzim? And so the basic explanation that's given is that Karban Musaf is a Din Daraisa, right? It's something that we find in the Torah. And so therefore, it's not necessary to bolster the idea. It already is the gravity of this mitzvah, the seriousness of this mitzvah, the importance is understood. So it's not necessary for it to dismiss more than one maimed, the maimed that you have by mincha, which is the tefillah, the carbon that's right next door. But for carbon eitzim, that was a din darabanan, and so they wanted to show the significance, the importance of that carbon, and so the way that they drove home that point was by saying that a carbon eitzim dismisses the need for a maimed by the ila as well. Okay, so what ended up happening? Chaz Rabbi Akiva liyos shana kaven azai. Rabbi Akiva ultimately retracted to teach the halacha like Ben Azai did. Mishnah Hay, Zman Atzi Kohanim Va'am Tisha. There were 9 times during the year that the wood that these carbon eitzim, that the various families that brought carbon eitzim would bring them. So what were they? Be'echad Nisan, on the very first day of Nisan, Bnei Arach Ben Yehuda, the sons of Arach from the Shevet of Yehuda. Again, we noted that the carbon eitzim, the whole idea of it was that there were specific families that stepped up to the plate when they came back from Galus Bavel, and they were the ones who donated their own personal wood to be used for the Beis Hamikdash, because there was no wood available. And so the Nevi'im said that from now on, these are the families that are going to have the zechus to be able to provide wood for the Beis Hamikdash. So those are the families. So the first one, we said that the 2 major Shvatim that came back, right, were Yehuda and Binyamin. Of course, the Kohen Levim as well, but not the Sarsa Shvatim. So Be'echa ben Nisan, B'nei Arach ben Yehuda. Be'esem B'tamaz, on the 20th of Tamaz, B'nei David ben Yehuda. B'chamish B'nei Parosh ben Yehuda. B'shivabo, on the 7th day of that month, meaning an Av, in the month of Av, B'nei Yonadav ben Rechav. The sons of Yonadav ben Rechav, which we said was from the family of Yisro. Basarba, on the 10th of that month, B'nei Sana'a ben Binyamin, from the Shevet of Binyamin. B'chamish Hasarba, on the 15th of that month, B'nei Zatu ben Yehuda. The Imam, and along with them, were the Kohanim, Levim, B'komi Shetah B'Shivto. The Kohanim were tag along, and the Levim were also along. And anybody who was mistaken by the Shevet, he didn't know which Shevet he descended from. U'b'nei Gonvei Eli, B'nei Kotzi Ketzius. We said that this family were the unique, very, very special family that at the time that there was a Gezerah, that the government decreed that nobody was to bring Bikurim to the Yerushalayim, these people deceived the guards who were blocking the way to Yerushalayim. And the way that they did is that they put their Bikurim in baskets, and they covered over the Bikurim with figs. And they brought ellies, they brought these pestles that they would use to press the figs, and they would bring them along with their cutting tools. And they told the guards, look, we're not really going to do very much, we're just trying to press our figs, because there is a local mortar in town that we can use in order to press our figs into, and the guards would let them pass, and then they would bring their bikurim. So these families were known as the Bnei Gonvei Eli, Bnei Kotzi Ketzios. The Esrimbo, on the 20th of it, meaning on the 20th of Av, Bnei Pachas Moav Ben Yehuda, Be'eshem Be'el, on the 20th of El, B'nei Adin ben Yehuda. Be'echer B'tevis, and on the first day of Tevis, Shavu B'nei Parash Shnia, the B'nei Parash returned a second time, because they already brought earlier, on the 5th of Av. Be'echer B'tevis, and on the first day of Tevis, Lohi B'maimed. It's important to note that there was no Maimed. Why not? Shavu Hal, because it was a day that there was Hal on, and of course we know from before that if there's a day where there's Hal, that dismisses the Maimed by Shachris. The Karban Musaf, there's also Karban Musaf, because the first day of Tevis is Rosh Chodesh, the carbon eitzim, and there is a carbon eitzim going on. And so by the time you're finished with all 3 of these things going on in the day, there aren't going to be any ma'amados on that day. Mishnah Vav. Chamisha Devar Me'eruos Avosinu V'Shiva Asra Tamas. There are 5 terrible things that happened to our fathers on the 17th day of Tamas. V'Chamisha B'Tisha Ba'av. And there were 5 that happened on the 9th of Av. And now we're going to talk about the Tanios that we're more familiar with, the Tanios that were instituted not because there was a terrible thing like no rain in the season, but because of terrible things that happened in history. Bishiv Asher B'Tamaz, on the 17th of Tamaz, Neshtabra Luchas, the Luchas were broken. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas on the 17th of Tamaz. Ubatal HaTamid, this was, we said that the Tamid was ceased to be brought from that day on. V'Havka Ha'ir, the city of Yerushalayim was sieged. It was breached. So they got through the walls, and this was during the Chorban, during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, not during the times of the first Beis Hamikdash. The Sarf Apostumus as a Torah. Apostumus was a Greek general. He burned the Torah. The simple understanding is that he burned the Torah that Ezra had written that was kept in the Beis Hamikdash. The Hem Itzelem Beheichal, and he stood up Itzelem, an image, a statue of some sort, in the Heichal. B'tisha ba'av, on the 9th of Av, what are the 5 things that happened? Number 1, Nigzar al avosinu shelo yikantu la'aretz. There was a decree on our forefathers, this was in the Midbar, that because they cried on Tisha B'Av when the Meraglim got back with their bad report about Eretz Yisrael, so there was a decree that our forefathers were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. V'char v'bayis parishona, and the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed the first time around, in other words, bayis rishon. U'bashni, on the second time, The meaning the Beis Hamikdash, this is referring to Churban Bayit Sheni. Menukah the Beitar. Beitar was the place where Bar Koziba or Bar Kochva, that's where his stronghold was, and that city was taken down by the Romans, and they slaughtered tens of thousands of Jews. So the city of Beitar was captured, V'nechash Ha'ir, and Yerushalayim was plowed over. And so those are the five things that happened on Tishba. And so when Av comes in, we minimize the amount of Simcha that we have. Mishnah Zayin, Shabbos Shechal, Tisha B'Av Lios Pesocha. This doesn't mean Shabbos, the day of Shabbos. It means the week of that Tisha B'Av comes out on. Asr Melasaper, Umelechabes. It's asr to get a haircut, whether that's facial hair or head hair. And it's asr to launder your clothing. Ubechamishi, and on a Thursday, in other words, on a week where Tisha B'Av comes out, in other words, what day is it coming out? It's coming out on Friday, and that was only in those times. It doesn't come out on Friday anymore. So if Tisha B'Av came out on a Friday, so on the Thursday prior, then mutarn, it's permitted to take a haircut or to launder your clothing, make cover Shabbos in order to get ready to look nice for Shabbos. Erev Tisha B'Av. But if you have Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochel adam shnei tavshilin, a person should not eat two cooked dishes. Lo yochel basri, he shouldn't be eating meat, even if it's a single dish. Lo yishtayayin, he shouldn't be drinking any wine. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, says, yishane, a person should just deviate from his normal practice. If he typically has two tavshilim, he should have only one. If he typically drinks two cups of wine, he should only have one. Rabbi Yehuda mechai bekfias hamit, Rabbi Yehuda necessitated, he obligated, flipping over the bed, just like Avelim do, that Avelim would have to sleep on the floor instead of sleeping on their beds. V'lo hodu lo chacham, but the chacham did not agree to Rabbi Yehuda. Mishnah Ches, Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, "Lo hayu yam tovin li Yisrael kachamisha asher ba'av uchiyom kiparim." There were no greater holidays for the Jewish people like the 15th of Av, known as Tu B'Av, or like Yom Kippur. And we went through the various reasons why those days were so joyous. We said number one, on Tu B'Av, that was a day on which there was more freedom for girls to be able to get married to other Shvatim, to guys from other Shvatim. We said that up until Bnos Slavchad were able to inherit their father's property in Eretz Yisrael, but provided that they kept the property within the family. In other words, that they married people within their Shevet. And so that was only from then, and they concluded on Tu B'Av that girls can marry outside of their families, even if they're inheriting property. We said number two, that was the day that Shevet Binyamin was able to marry into the rest of Klal Yisrael. There was a Takana, Shavuot, that they made not to marry from Shevet Binyamin after the story of Pelegash Begiva. Number three, this was the day that they stopped, that the people in the Midbar stopped dying. We said that every year on Tisha B'Av, every year on Tisha B'Av, they would go down, they would dig their graves and go to sleep in those graves, and the next morning, thousands of them would have died overnight. Until finally, the 40th year of the desert, of being in the Midbar, they went down, they dug the graves, they went to sleep, and no one died the next morning. So they kept doing this until Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av was when they realized that we can rest assured that no one's going to die anymore on this day. So Tu B'Av was a big simcha. The fourth thing that we had said happened was that Yeravam ben Nevat prevented people from being able to go to be Olah L'Regel. And so on that day, on Tu B'Av, is when Hoshea ben Elah stopped those guards from blocking the roads, from letting people to be Olah L'Regel. We said the fifth thing that happened was that the people who were killed in Beitar by Hadrian, so we said that ultimately Hadrian didn't allow the people part of that rebellion to be buried, and so it was on that day on Tu B'Av that now they were allowed to be buried. And the sixth thing that we said that happened is that it was like a siyum for completing the amount of wood that would be cut down for the year for the Mizbech, because the wood had to be really dried out by the sun, and if the sun wasn't hot enough to dry out the wood, then there could be a problem with having worms. And so that day, Tu B'Av, was like the last day where the sun's heat was powerful enough, and so it was like a siyum. And then what was so good about Yom Kippur was that it's a day of Slicha, it's a day of Kapara, and it was also the day that we got the Luchas Achronos. And so Shabahen, so the Mishnah continues again, Aloha Yuyam Tovon Yisrael, Kachamisha Asr B'Av, Uchiyam Kippurim, Shabahen Binos Yerushalayim Yotzes B'Klei Lavan Shu'ulin, because on those days, the girls of Yerushalayim would go out wearing their white clothing that they had borrowed, right? They had to be borrowed Shalol Levai Shasmisha Enlo, so as not to embarrass a girl who didn't have her own. Kol HaKelim Tu'un and Tevila, and all those clothing that they were borrowing required Tevila, because you didn't know if the person you were borrowing it from was careful about Tumah. Ubenos Yerushalayim Yotzes V'Cholos Bekramim, and the girls of Yerushalayim would go out dancing in the vineyards. Umahayu Omers, what would they say? Bachar, young man, young guy, Sano Einechar, go check out. Umah Tabo Erlach, what are you choosing for yourself? Atitein Einech Banoi, don't pay attention to beauty. Tein Einech B'Mishpacha, you should pay attention to the family. family. We don't care about beauty. Beauty is nothing. It's vanity. All we care about is Yiras Hashem, the Omer, Tenula Mipri Adavi, Hallelujah B'Shar Ma'asa, we care about the actions of a girl, V'chein Hu Omer Tze'enor Ena B'Nos Tzion B'Melech B'Shlomo, the girls of Tzion should go check out and see the King Shlomo, Batar She'itcholo Imo, the crown that his mother put on him, B'Yom Chasunos, B'Yom Simchas Libo, on the day of his Chasun, on the day of Simchas Libo, the rejoicing of his heart. What are those days? B'Yom Chasunos is a Matan Torah. B'Yom Chasunos is referring to the day of Matan Torah, which we understand to mean the day that they got the Luchos Achronos, the second pair of Luchos, B'Yom Simchas Libo, and the day of Simchas Libo. What is that? Zeb Bein Beis HaMikdash. That's the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, except not really built, but that when the Chanukah Zabayis occurred. Shibana B'Mehera B'Yemenu Amen. So that it should be built speedily in our days.